listen to the radio in your cell.
Right.
At that time, did they have a Spanish-speaking program on one of the three radio channels?
No, sir.
So that you would listen in English?
Well, I would listen to the music mostly.
Now, I notice, Mr. Martinez, that according to your record at the institution, within a month after you arrived, about a month after your 17th birthday, you were sentenced by the administration to 30 days keep lock for refusing to work. Do you remember that at all?
Yes, and I went to the hospital and explained to the doctor over there that I was having difficulty with my leg. I asked for 2 days excuse. He never granted. I went back to the officer and told him I was going to lock in, and that was it. The PK called me down and explained to him that I needed some rest because I wasn't used to, you know, my leg at the time wasn't used to standing up for long, lengthy periods of time.
You had this disability with your leg caused by your polio disease.
And he told me that when I was ready to go to work, he let me out.
So what happened?
Well, I spent 30 days exactly in my cell.
Were you let out to eat?
No.
Now,
confined completely.
Now, people will not understand how are you fed if you're locked in the cell.
Well, the food is brought around to the guys that keep locked in a tray, and they just pass through a little hole that is in the main door. I was fed there 3 times a day. No recreation period, no nothing.
What about showering? Were you allowed to go out that once a week
for
the shower?
Time.
Now, you stayed in your cell how long?
I stayed for a period of 30 days exactly, since the time I closed my door till the time I came out. And the reason because of it was because I wasn't made aware of the fact that all I would have to do was write a note to the PK, and he would have let me out as soon as I would inform him that I was ready to go back to work.
You didn't know that?
No, sir.
Who finally informed you that you could be let out of your cell by dropping a tab to the PK?
A fellow inmate, Spanish guy.
Now, when you came to Attica, were you given any indoctrination in Spanish about the rules of the institution?
Well, you might call it indoctrination. Every time I bought a little fraction of Kepler, was indoctrination enough.
And that was your method of education?
Well, a Kepler, next time you know, you can't do it.
Now, I see also that in February of 1968, you were keep locked for 7 days for not being up for the 7 a.m. count after being warned several times. I'm reading from your record.
The main reason for that was that on the 12 to 8 shift or 7th shift, the officers used to come and open the windows on the galleries. Now, that gallery used to get pretty cold, and for you to get up in the morning with all that cold around there, it was something else.
So you spent another 7 days in your cell because you couldn't
yes,
get
sir.
Up. Were you the youngest person in your company?
The whole prison.
What difficulties did that present for you?
Well, the main one was at that time, you know, I didn't have nobody of my age to associate with. I had the Puerto Rican guys, you know. Actually, I could have said any of them, I could call them father because, you know, they were quite older than myself. I couldn't communicate at all, really, unless it was speak to. Well, let's put it this way. In the time I did in the population, I only associated with one guy, a Spanish guy like myself. Even though I used to hang around with, you know, keeping the group of the Puerto Rican section, I still used to hang out with one guy.
Were you frightened of homosexual attack?
To a certain extent, yes.
Did you carry a weapon?
Yes.
Were you instructed by your friend and other Puerto Ricans that you should do so?
They told me that if I was to stab anybody with it, I wouldn't get no time because of my age. I wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
You were brought there for this DVR program and you had not yet been moved into it?
No, sir.
Now, was there anybody in the institution at that time, other than your fellow Puerto Ricans, to whom you could turn with your problems?
No, sir. And maybe you might have been able to speak to one of them about a problem, but you sure couldn't go to everybody explaining your personal problems.
And in those days, was there anybody in the administration who spoke Spanish?
Not that I was aware of.
Nobody came around to you to talk to you in Spanish?
No, sir.
Did you get a translation of the Blue Rule Book that we've been hearing so much about in Spanish?
No, sir.
Were the menus in ever translated for you from English to Spanish?
No, sir.
Now, how did you finally manage to get into E Block and the DVR program?
Well, sir, a fellow inmate came up to me and he told me that he was handicapped as myself. And he told me that he was going over next week to the DVR project. And he told me that they had been open for quite a while now. I think it was a period of 2 months. And he told me that all I would have to do was drop a tap to Mr. Evan Glover. And that he will call me down and question me.
So did you do that?
Yes, sir. I did immediately.
And how soon after that were you transferred?
About a week later.
Now, you've told us that you came to Attica for this program. Did you feel like a forgotten man in not being transferred before you asked for it?
I definitely did.
Were you reluctant to leave B Block at that time?
To a certain extent, yes. I had gotten used to the routine over there.
And you had a friend in B Block?
Yes, sir.
Now, I think that it would be helpful if you explained how frequently you can see a friend in Attica if you're moved to a different block.
Well, if you got sick and went to sicko, you might be lucky if he went over there at the same day you did. But other than that, you might have gone to the cell study department over in the school and might be able to see him over there. But other than that, you might be months and no contact with him at all.
Or 4th of July when...
Oh, of course, I forgot about that. The 4th of July, the yards are opening, and we're allowed to travel to the rest of the population.
So that the decision for you to leave B Block and go to the DVR program meant, for all practical purposes, abandoning the one friend you had in this institution?
Yes, sir.
And at the time you were transferred, to DVR. You were approximately 18 years of age. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, we've had some mention of the DVR program before and E-Block. Can you describe in your own words how E-Block differed from B-Block and the other blocks in the institution?
Well, the main concern in E-Block, as far as the population was that when everybody heard the name of Division of Rehabilitation and Vocation or something like that, everybody, you know, thought that this was going to be a major project, you know, where maybe some training or some was going to give it out. A lot of the hopes were diminished when they found out that this was going to be extended only to handicapped persons. When I got actually to DVR, it wasn't really just a recreation room where you come out to yourself after mess, after breakfast, stay there till a period of 10:45, locked in your cell, come back after meso, and at 3:30 go back to your cell. In other words, DVR consists only of a lot of recreation, a lot more recreation than you used to get in the population.
Now, this was at the outset of DVR?
No, sir. They had what they call an evaluation program. It was a shop downstairs in the basement. You will go down there and they will evaluate you as to where you were best. They had like silk screen, typewriting, some pieces of metal where they used to make round things on them, find out if it was good and that. They had a alarm machine where you used to dismantle and mount them. When you was through with that, that was DVR there. And that was no training, really. It was just evaluation to find out where you was best at.
Now, while you were in the DVR program, were you given surgery to correct your disability?
Yes, sir, I did, and on three different occasions.
And that surgery was performed in Maya Memorial Hospital?
Yes, sir.
And you were taken out to Maya Memorial both for the operations and then for therapy?
Yes, sir.
Now, these were operations that were given to you by the DVR program?
Yes, sir.
Which was federally funded, as I understand it.
Right. This has nothing to do with the state. The state only provide the officers to transfer, to take us outside.
Now, when you first went to the medical facilities at Attica, you told how the result of that was that you ended up being in your cell for a 30-day period.
Yes, sir.
How did you communicate with the doctor?
I had a hard time. That's about all I could say. As a matter of fact, I had to lift my pants up and finally show him my swollen leg, and he still didn't do nothing.
You couldn't really describe in English exactly what your problems were and talk to him fluently the way you can talk to me today.
Yes, sir. Very much that.
Now, on that subject, many people are going to be wondering how you learned to speak English so well.
Well, sir, when I was moved to DVR, there was only one other Spanish-speaking member there. He did not know English at all whatsoever. Mostly, I came into contact with a lot of English-speaking persons, mostly inmates. And it was a hassle. Either you knew it or learning on the hard way or you didn't speak at all. During that period, I kept trying to improve my English through the self-study course, even though it was kind of, you used to send a lesson in and it used, maybe it would be 4 or 5 days before you used to get it back. But they used to send it back eventually.
Now, how many people were there on the staff of the DVR program who spoke Spanish?
Just one that I know of.
Were you able to relate it all to him?
Could you explain what you mean by relate?
Was he from Puerto Rico?
No, sir.
Did you feel that you could take your problems to him?
No, sir.
To whom did you take your problems? You've said before that when you were out in B Block, you would take your problems to this older inmate who befriended you.
Right.
What did you do in E Block?
Well, sir, if there was anybody, if there wasn't anybody, I guess I'd just have to keep them up to myself.
And you said that there was one other Puerto Rican inmate in DVR?
I did make that statement. However, not all Puerto Ricans get along.
And so in DVR, essentially, you were out on your own.
Yes, sir.
Now, what job did you have in DVR?
Well, at the beginning, I was given a porter's job. I mapped the section of, this was not forced because of your condition. It's just if you want to get out of your cell earlier, then you just got a porter job and did a little bit of work. And like that, you'll be out about half an hour early because nobody would be allowed to out of their cells until the day room was clear.
Until what?
Until the day room was clean.
Day room.
Now, how long did you remain at the porter's job in DVR?
I remained there for a period of about 3 weeks and a half until I fell down and I got injured in my back and I was admitted to the hospital.
Now, did you ever have another job in the DVR program?
Yes, about 6 months before the rebellion, I became Token Economy Assistant Clerk.
What?
Token Economy Assistant Clerk.
Now, DVR had something which was called the Token Economy, the E Block residents who were in the DVR program?
Well, this started about a year and a half after the project was opened.
Now, would you tell everybody about this token economy system?
Well, sir, the token economy system consisted of you will get up, if you get up in the mornings for the count, you will get one token. For self studies courses, you will get so many tokens and so forth. It all depends on your conduct, mostly.
Now, what did you use the tokens for?
Well, at the beginning, we had a commissary in the block, which was open every day, mornings and afternoon. And as you needed a pack of cigarettes or some peaches or et cetera, you just go up to the commissary, buy it, and you were set for the night.
Now, did there come a time when you could use the tokens to buy the privilege of staying out late?
Yes, sir. That.
Now tell us about that.
Well, when that particular project came into effect, there was mostly a rush, everybody trying to make tokens so they could stay out at night till 11, 12 o'clock at night.
You could stay up, you could, for a certain number of tokens, you could buy the right to stay up until 12 o'clock at night instead of being locked in your cells at what would have been the normal time?
Well, it would have been from 7:30 till 11 o'clock. However, if you was watching some type of sport and it lasted till 12 o'clock, you was allowed to see it.
Now, everybody was very eager to earn the tokens to stay up late, I take it.
It beat the cell.
It beat the cell, you said.
That's right.
And how many tokens would it cost to stay up late?
Well, you would have to pay 50 tokens if you wanted to come out from 9 to 11. And if you want to come out from 7:30 till 11, you will have to pay 65 tokens, just one single night.
And you told me that you once set a record for the number of tokens you earned in a single week.
Yes, sir.
How many tokens?
379.
And how did you get those tokens?
It amounts to hustling.
Well, I don't know whether you want to discuss this, so let's say that you mentioned that it was possible to take 5, 6, 7 cell study courses and get good grades so that somebody could earn enough tokens if he would share his tokens with the grader.
That's right. In other words, you earn 375 tokens, we split halfway. You get half and I get half.
And how many cell study courses did you end up taking at any one time in order to be able to stay up and watch television till 11 o'clock?
Five.
Five courses at one time?
Yes, sir.
What courses were they?
Arithmetic, English, something about spelling, I forget the names. A lot of them, because you were given an initial fee when you enroll in a token. I just used to enroll in the course. When I used to get the initial fee, just drop the course.
And did you get very much out of any of these courses?
No, sir, none at all.
Other than, in fact, it's fair to say that the only thing you got out of this programming was really the right to stay up late.
That's what it amounted to.
And whatever you've done for yourself in learning English, you've done on your own.
After 6 years of reading at night pocketbooks, you're forced to learn. You learn it the hard way.
Now, this system of the token economy and late night privileges was available only for the DVR inmates in E Block?
Yes, sir, and not everybody on a single night, just the first 10 guys that came up.
And how many people were there in the DVR program at the maximum, as you best recall it?
Approximately 68 to 70.
So that approximately 2,200 inmates did not have these privileges, the ones who were not in the DVR program.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you worked in the metal shop, opening and shutting drawers, and what was your pay scale?
Well, sir, on the first month, I was paid 6 cents. On the second month, I was paid 12 cents. In other words, you used to get 6 cents up until you reached the scale of 10, correction, please. The job, the first assignment I had, I was only allowed 10 cents. I got 6 cents, and then the next month I got a raise of 4 cents.
You got it to 10 cents.
Yes.
And ultimately, during the period you worked in the metal shop, did you tell me that you got raises up to 29 cents on your new job, that you were making about 29 cents a day?
Yes, it would be increased by 6 cents per month until you reached the top level, which was 29 cents.
And you were required to save half of that?
Well,
during that period?
Yeah, the administration took, if let's say you get 380, they took half of that and put it in a separate fund. You couldn't touch it.
So that you would presumably have something to help you make it on the outside.
That was the reason for it.
That's what you
were
told.
That's what I was told, yeah.
If you were making How many days a week did you work?
5, sir.
So maybe you'd put away 75 cents a week toward helping you when you got out of this institution.
Right.
Now, you didn't work very hard.
There was no...
There really wasn't very much to do at Attica.
That's the truth right there.
When you first came as a youngster, having idle time probably didn't bother you that much. Is that fair?
That's truth, yes.
But you've now matured. You're now an elected representative on the Inmate Grievance Council, and the time is beginning to get heavy, isn't it? Really, the boredom and lack of training?
Quite a bit, especially when you got anywhere from 400 to 500 guys coming up to you and telling you, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and you don't have no answers.
Now, when will you first be able to meet the parole board?
October 1973.
So that society may expect your return in about a year and a half.
Something like that.
And it's, you would consider it a fair question to ask of Attica what they have done to prepare you for return to society, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Now, first, have you been told anything about what the parole board expects of you?
No, I haven't.
Have you been told anything about what the effect will be of these keep locks you got beginning when you were just 17?
No, I haven't.
Is there anybody who gives you instructions on what is the criteria for really making parole?
The inmate, they just tell you, try to do the best you can.
And what does that mean?
Well, it means try to keep out of trouble, if you can anyway. You can't always avoid it.
Now, tell me why you can't always avoid trouble.
Well, you have two segments within the prison. You have the prison guards, you have the inmates. We live here, they don't. Some of these guys, they just come to the prison to do the 8 hours as soon as they can and get out of there, you know. It's not common. It is a very common sight to see some of these officers just pass the time around with the inmate, picking on him and whatnot. Now, I wouldn't say all of them, but I said the majority of them.
And you've had your confrontations?
Definitely.
Now, how many times have you been visited by your family since you've been here?
Once every year.
And when you came here, your file indicates that you expressed the opinion that you thought that your people would be able to visit you more frequently.
If I would have been transferred someplace near the city, yes. It was too expensive to come up here.
And so the only time you are able to actually speak to your mother, sister, is when they visit once a year.
That is right. On some occasions, because of the shortage of money, only my sister is able to come up.